That's my wife. That's my twin brother. This is my oldest. And this is my youngest. And these are my grandkids right here. And these are my daughter that is about to leave me to North Carolina, that we are grieving about right now as we lose our grandkids and know we will not be in their lives. That's a hard thing. You grandparents understand that. Those that are away from your kids, you know how that goes. So as you can see, we're not a normal American family. And, you know, to have a dad even like this, you know, there goes grandpa, most of these kids would say. And how many times have I been asked, oh, you're their grandpa, you know? No, I'm not grandpa. I'm actually, I love it when Katie says, dad, and everybody turns around, they look at me and say, dad, you know, it's kind of special. It is very special. And I count the blessings that God has brought into our lives. These kids would have no parents. They would have no family life. One of these would be begging by now if he was still in the institution in China. And I'm grateful that God plucked them out of millions of kids and brought these children into my lives, into our lives. And so I thank God for what I have, and I count my blessings that I get to be a young dad until I just kind of eventuate into death as an old man, you know. I get to be young dad. Well, let's talk about Peter. I've enjoyed being with you today and last night and this weekend. And I see a lot of dedication, I see a lot of passion, and a lot of you, and I appreciate that. My encouragement is for you to keep that alive, and no matter what our futures may be together, may we pray diligently and deeply about that, but may your passion and for your God always be strong, and may it always survive no matter what, and may you always be growing in the Lord your God. That's kind of what we want to talk about tonight as we talk about Peter. I really didn't know whether to preach leadership this morning or tonight, and vice versa with Peter. Peter probably would have fit better this morning, but we'll talk about it tonight. A matter of, you know, you stick with it. You just stick with it till the end. I love Peter. We're studying the journey of his discipleship. I love Peter. And I love Paul. But I relate to Paul. I love his analytical reasoning. I love, you know, where he is. He was, you know, what a mind that God was using in Paul. But I love Peter from another standpoint. I love Peter because he's just like me. He's a sinner. He's just like me. He fails too much. He's just like me. He's got great intentions. And he didn't quite do it. And I'm trying to be just like him. But I'm not going to give up. And that the journey is going to be lifelong. And he's really a great lesson for all of us. And you've all studied Peter, but I'd like to just go ahead and go through this again. And just let me encourage you today to keep your faith strong, to never give up the battle. You just stay in the spirit of discipleship. You love your Jesus, and you love him until you are crucified or your head is chopped off or you die of a heart attack or whatever it is. You love the Lord your God until you're just simply not here anymore and you are with your God. And that's what we see in this great man, Peter. You know, when we look at Peter, he had a lot of early successes. We do see him in Matthew 4 leaving the nets to go follow Jesus. Well, that was a interesting thing to do, wasn't it? There's something good here about this man. And yes, he had left much after Jesus talked to the rich young ruler and how hard it was to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says to Jesus, but we've left much to follow you. And that was exactly right. He had left much to follow Jesus. And it was Peter, Matthew 14. Do you remember that? Let's look at that real quickly. We won't look at all these because we don't have time. But just to get our flavor going here, Matthew the 14th chapter. Do you remember when Jesus was walking on the water that Peter saw him? And we remember that Peter had this desire that he wanted to go out and to be with Jesus. And in Matthew 14:28, we read that Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command that I come out to you on the water. And so he said, come. I wonder what Jesus was thinking, you know, what he said to Peter. Come, you know, knowing the status of Peter. But great opportunity for Peter, no matter what. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, that was Peter. We often give Peter, you know, kind of this bad thing that he came out and he failed the test. Actually, how many other people in the boat said, Lord, can I come out on the water with you? Peter said it. Yeah, Peter said it, didn't he? That was something, you know, that we look at Peter and say, wow, that was a lot of faith. He was truly driven to be loyal to Jesus when he said in John 18, though everybody deny you, I will not deny you. Did he really mean that? What did he do when the soldiers came? He pulled out his sword and cut off an ear. You know what his intention was? His intention was to protect Jesus Christ. We're kind of hard on Peter in that early time there, aren't we? Oh, he said, I will stick with you. You know what he's going to do? He pulled out his sword to stick with Jesus Christ. Does that mean that he had in his mind to the death? He sure did. Jesus said, put up your sword. I think that threw Peter into some confusion, perhaps, as to what he was supposed to do. And it kind of throws Peter backwards, and he's going to fail here as he's going to deny the Lord three times. But he had some really great early successes. But we know, of course, that he had some serious failures as well. We go back to Matthew 14, and we come down to verses 30, 31. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, you all know the lesson. We all look at the wind, don't we? We're trying to walk by faith, but we look at the wind. And we see the boisterous wind instead of our Lord. And that's exactly what he did. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? By the way, Peter, you're looking at God, right? He knew it, but he got his eyes away from him just like we do. Yeah, he failed, and we see his weaknesses. You know, he was frustrated. Jesus one time, you know, throw your nets on the other side. Lord, we've been fishing all night. You know, a little rebuke of Jesus. But if you say so, we will. And, of course, the great catch then that comes. And, you know, we have him rebuking Jesus about the coming troubles. And, of course, Jesus asks him to go pray with him, and he comes back. And understandably, the disciples are so fatigued, his special three are so fatigued, they're fast asleep when Jesus is about to be taken in a few hours and crucified. There's, of course, some of his weakness. One of the embarrassing situations is, remember where a woman had touched Jesus, the woman who had the blood issue, and she touches Jesus, and Jesus immediately knows it, of course, and he says, who touched me? It's kind of embarrassing when I think of Peter, you know, and probably would have been me. And Peter, the first thing in Peter's mind is, Lord, you have people all around you. It could have been anyone. Many people could have touched you, Lord. Jesus knew what he was doing, though, with this woman, but Peter did not. And we see, of course, Peter would deny the Lord three times. We just remember that infamous moment that was so poignant. When he had denied Jesus the third time, the rooster crows, and all of a sudden, what happens? The eyes of Jesus and Peter meet, and Peter knows what he has done. So we look at Peter, we see all these weaknesses, and even after the resurrection, when he's being told by Jesus, you're going to go someday and go where you don't want to go, and you're going to die for me, is what Jesus was telling him. And he sees the one that is leaning up against Jesus, most likely John, and he says, well, what about this man? And Peter shows that pettiness. Of course, we're talking life and death. I guess we would understand that, right? What about this man? But it shows us that Peter was not there yet, right? Was Peter still on the journey? He was still on the journey. So we see his greatness in the beginning, but we also, of course, have had all these weaknesses recorded for us. But we look later and we see some great things. What was it that Jesus promised that he would have in Matthew 16? I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. What do you do with a key? You unlock things, don't you? What did Peter unlock? In Acts, the second chapter, he preached the first gospel sermon, didn't he? About Jesus Christ. And Peter, in his own way, unlocked something in the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God to come into the hearts of man, so that men could be in the kingdom of God. And we have Peter doing some just, you know, great things in great strength in Acts 4, you know, the persecutions. You don't teach about this Jesus anymore. Whether we should listen to you, our God, you judge, Peter said. And we see some growth going on in Peter and his willingness to stand. And the next time around, next chapter, they beat him. They threaten him. We must obey God rather than men. And then they beat him. And it says that they departed all dejected and sad. And they went and they nursed their wounds. And they said, we're never going to do this again. Is that what they said? They went on their way rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for his name. Could you ever feel that way? We see the journey of Peter, don't we? It was an honor for him to be beaten. And we start to get the feeling now of the great love that he has for his Lord. This great sense of debt that he felt that he had towards his Lord. He's going to give himself to his Lord. He would be sent in Acts 12 to prison. Galatians 2, he's still not perfect. He's going to be a hypocrite in Galatians 2, and Paul will have to rebuke him. You're familiar with that. You've been through that recently. But he would come to write 1 and 2 Peter, which are brilliant books about who we are and who we're supposed to be. We see the great journey of this great man. And he becomes an elder, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. He's a fellow elder with some individuals. And the growth is clearly there. And eventually, well, Jesus promised it. The day will come when men will take you where you don't want to go. And this he spoke, signifying the manner of death with which he would glorify God. What would Peter do? He would die for his Lord. Would you like to die for your Lord? Would you rather die of cancer or have your head chopped off to glorify Jesus? You ever thought about that? I'm afraid you don't have a choice, okay? But consider this. Jesus says you're going to die for me, and in this manner you will glorify God. You know, what an honor and a glory it was for Peter to give his life. But this is where he was in his commitment. His journey of discipleship would now be complete. You know, he had grown, and the early failures, he would always have failures, but he would grow in his discipleship. He would just become something so effective. He would become such a force for God. He would be taken from the lowly fisherman, and he would ultimately die a death for his Lord. And we say there's a man that's truly fulfilled his journey in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Peter. Thanks for being one of us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us Peter. He sure makes me feel better about my faith. Right? Yours too? Because you know what? I'm fickle in my faith. I'm strong sometimes, and I'm weak in others. I'm sorry you don't relate to that. I know you're strong all the time. You're never fickle, you know? You never have weak moments or down moments. You're never discouraged or anything like that, right? Thanks for giving us Peter, because he's one of us. And God teaches us, of course, that the journey of discipleship is not going to be all about our absolute perfection every moment. It's going to be about keeping our eyes on our God. And when we stumble, we get up, we brush ourselves off, and we keep serving. We keep walking for our Lord. Well, let's talk about some things. How did Peter come to such strength? And just three basic quick things, but I have found that it usually are these basic things that really come into our minds and we hold that mean the most to us. What was it that Peter did that really, we know that he was focused on his God, and there are many things we can look at, but what did Peter do that helped him in the finality of his journey? Well, let's think about this. Number one. He never quit. If I had denied Jesus Christ 3 times, and he looked back at me with eyes of disappointment or eyes of, I told you this was going to be so, I think I would have felt pretty bad about that. And you know, it might have been, I would have felt like quitting. Peter didn't quit. Peter went forward. Peter would act as a disciple. He would become a powerful apostle until eventually he would be a martyr. And we could go back to the teachings of Paul. Remember in Philippians chapter 3 that Paul said, I have this desire to share in the sufferings of Christ. And we get back to what we were saying this morning, how things can be upside down so far from all. How could we ever say, I would like to suffer for Jesus with Jesus? But that's where Paul was. I want to share. I want to have fellowship in the sufferings of Jesus. And that meant, may hard times come my way and may I be harmed for my Lord Jesus Christ. Does that tell us something about, you know, faith? Does that tell us about what God is trying to require, what he requires of us and trying to get us to be? That these men, they were desirous of being martyrs because they loved their God so much. But we don't get that, do we? You know, we live in too of a secure of a time, and you know, we live in too much fear, as we said this morning. Well, it's hard to grab hold. It's hard to, you know, as they say, wrap our brains around this thing, you know. And I'll admit, I'm right with you. This is a hard thing to just really absorb. And maybe some special times in our lives would be necessary to try and finally push us to that point, you know, where we could say, I'm ready to just die for my Lord. But that's where Peter was. And we see this tremendous growth in him. Here's a disciple that just simply said, I am never going to quit. And he failed so many times. He fell down and stumbled and bruised his knees, and he got up bleeding, but he always got up and he always went forward. And you know, we ask, what was the reason for this commitment? And yes, he knows Jesus is, you know, the Savior and all that. There are a couple of verses that bear upon this that are just so important that I think really get to the core of Peter's heart. One of them is in Matthew 16, verse 16, when Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? Absorb this. Who do you say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, there are some sentences and some truths that you can't ignore. They don't go away. If Jesus is the Christ, the Son, living God, that means something. It's kind of like if someone says, there's a bomb under your seat. That's not a static thing. You know, you don't sit there and say, oh, really? You know, what now? It means something. It means action is here. You know what? You receive it and you act. This is one of those statements. You are the Christ, the Son, living God. That means something. Who do we serve? The Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the Son of the living God. That means something. How rich and how beautiful. And Peter had absorbed that. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? I know who you are, Savior. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son, living God. And then John 6 and verse 28. Simon, Peter answered after Jesus has had many disciples walk away from him after he's tried to teach them about the need to be nourished by him. And the bread of life sermon, you're familiar with that sermon. But we come down chapter 6, verse 68, and Simon makes this confession, Lord, to whom shall we go? Jesus says, are you going to go away too? With all the others? Here's a little test. Are you going to give in to what everybody else is doing, Peter? Jesus liked to challenge his disciples, didn't he? Are you going to go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And you know, you think about these statements. Weren't these powerful truths in Peter's life? These are things that are dynamic truths that have to have an action tied to them. You are the Christ, the Son, living God. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, he never quit. And a part of that, I believe, has to do with these confessions that he gave to Jesus about who Jesus was. How could I quit? Even though I'm full of myself and I make all these mistakes, how could I quit? Because look who you are, Jesus. And isn't that true, you know, for all of us? How can we quit? We get full of ourselves and we get discouraged and, you know, we get harmed and we get our focus off God. And isn't it really so often getting our eyes back on Jesus? Isn't it absorbing these truths right now, right here? Where else shall we go? And that's a good question for you. You know, when you're discouraged, life is hard, and you're, you know, you're serving Jesus, but you're getting weak, ask yourself the question now, where should I go? And answer it. Where should I go? I'm going to leave Jesus. Where should I go? Well, what's a good alternative? There are no good alternatives, are there? Here's the great truth of all. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have the words of eternal life. And I believe this had to live in the core of Peter, that it didn't matter. You know, he's a sinner. He makes all these mistakes, but he knows what is true. And it's like the great magnet ever in front of us. It ever pulls us forward. And sometimes we find ourselves kicking against the magnet, and the magnet loses some of its attraction, and all of a sudden we realize, what am I doing? And we stand up, and the magnet attracts us again. And that's what the truths of Jesus Christ are. They're always this magnet. If we will focus on these things, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What are our options? What else do I want in my life? What's going to be the answer for my purpose and reason for being and my hope? Where do I go? There is nowhere else to go. Jesus is the answer. And this is a core thing. And if we have this in front of us, you know what? You never quit. You never quit. If Jesus is this important to you, and you know, if you've absorbed in your heart who Jesus is to this degree, you don't quit. Sometimes you have hard things in your life. Sometimes you feel like quitting. Sometimes you feel like quitting your role. Elders, have you ever felt like quitting your role and just doing what everybody else does? Yeah, you've got a couple of good men that don't quit. But you know, here's the spirit of Christianity. You don't quit. Okay? You don't quit. You examine the options and you come back to the great reality, our great reality of who we have as our Savior. Secondly, what did Peter do? Peter allowed his conscience to be touched. Okay? Remember, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And what did Peter do? Can you relate to this? He went out and he wept. How did he weep? Have you ever wept bitterly? I know some of you have wept bitterly. You know what I mean by weep bitterly? Do I mean a couple of tears coming down? Or do I mean uncontrollable sobs? And you cannot get control of it because of the bitterness and sadness of spirit that has come over you. This is where Peter was. And you know what? What we're seeing in Peter is that he was willing to be convicted by what he did. In Luke, the fifth chapter, we have Peter who has seen Jesus do a great miracle, and he falls down before Jesus. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know, there was this realization of who he was before Jesus, and he could receive all this information into his heart to know what he was. And that's very vital to Christianity, isn't it? It's important to know what we are, and it's important to allow ourselves to be convicted. Okay? Have you ever been guilty of sin and you put off being convicted by it? I don't want to be convicted right now. I want to live in my sin. You ever done that? It's an easy thing to do, isn't it? Okay. Peter was one who was willing to be convicted. And we have to bring this home. Every time we sin, we need to know the deceiving nature of sin and what it will do with our hearts. We need to get rid of it, but we need to allow our conviction to take place. Our God is convicting us. John 16, verse 8, the Holy Spirit came to convict the world. That was one of the functions of the Holy Spirit coming. Came to convict. May we be convicted of unrighteousness. Yeah. Convict. So we have to open our hearts and we have to say, God, I want to know that. I want to be convicted. I want to feel convicted. I need to feel my guilt when I commit sin. Not that it will ever always stay there after I've been forgiven. That's not the point. I don't want the guilt from now on. And God says, take it away. He will do that. But we need to open ourselves to be convicted by God. And that can, it really comes down to how, letting God have a victory over it. And the word convict, of course, has to do with having victory. To convict is the idea of something having a victory over you. And here's the idea of God's truth, having a victory over our lives, so that we are now convinced of our evil. And we make a decision, I cannot live in that evil anymore. And that's where we see Peter. And when we are convicted, you know, that walks well. We won't read it for time's sake. It's going rapidly. But 2 Corinthians 7, we know the story of the repentance that took place there. And Paul talks about those that have had godly sorrow. Well, you know, conviction walks with our true godly sorrow, doesn't it? When we are convicted, we feel guilt. It is step one to a true godly sorrow that I have offended the righteousness of my God. How can I do that? My God who created me to be with him. My God who had his son killed for me to get me back to him. How can I sin against my God? So conviction walks with true godly sorrow. And we just simply have to make ourselves, allow ourselves to be convicted on ourselves. Don't ever let yourself remain in sin. And don't let yourself walk in perennial sin, because you know what sin will do for you. It will deceive you and it will harden your heart. Another study. But the deceptiveness of sin is there. It will deceive you. It will pull you into it and make you feel good about it and then make you not care anymore about obeying your God. That's the nature of the deceptions of sin. Allow yourself to be convicted. And this is what we see in Peter. He allowed the conviction of himself to take place. He went out, he wept bitterly, and he got up, and he went forward in his life. Thirdly, and lastly, what did Peter do? One of the great things about Peter is he never stopped being active. His transmission was always in drive, and it wasn't because the park was broken. You know, his transmission was always in drive. It was always push. It was always do. It was always, I have things to accomplish. And you know, we open the book of Acts and we see Acts on many levels. There are so many things to learn from Acts. But one of them is action in every chapter of disciples that are doing and disciples that are moving forward and accomplishing the will of God and doing some pretty great things by the power of God. But we have Peter in Acts, the second chapter, of course, and the opening of the kingdom, if you will, in the preaching of Jesus Christ on that day. We go forward in Acts 3 and 4 and the healing of the lame man and another sermon that is preached. We go forward to Acts 5 and we have the dynamic Peter that we know. He's the man of action, isn't he? Sometimes we think he was the man of action by personality. Didn't he line up in his personality, you know, with the social go-getter, you know, personality type? No. Peter and Paul were very different in their personalities from what we read. But they were both men that were great go-getters, great men of action that said, I have to accomplish today. And that's what we see in Peter. They did not cease, Acts 5:42, teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Peter just went. And we have to be really, really impressed with Peter. And you know, it is truly one of the keys to overcoming. When you fall, you know, you've gotten discouraged, you've fallen, you've sinned. One of the greatest things we can do is to get up and to start moving again and just go do. How about when you sin that you get up and you go make a phone call to a brother that's been really weak lately? And you try to encourage him. You just get up back in the road and you put it on drive, in drive, and you start going forward again. And you start doing the works that God wants you to do. When you fall, don't stay there. Get up, you get back to work, get going, push. That's what God wants us to do. And we know, of course, the teachings of James 1, verses 22 and 23, when he says, do not be hearers only, but be doers of the word. Doers of the word. Now, I think we as American Christians, has there ever been a more mature set of Christian individuals in world history than American Christians and knowledge? Do you know how much knowledge is in the church today? It's amazing how much so many Christians know. But you know what so many of us have done? Is we have taken the need, we fulfilled the need to become beers, right? I need to be something for God. I've learned so much and I've been able to groom myself through God in so many different ways. And after we have gone so far in our sense of being, what have we done? We stop right there because we're happy about our sense of being, correct? What do you think being was all about with God? In his projection of that upon us and teaching us the qualities that we need in this life, where was all of that to go? Do we all grow holy and pure and then sit down in our lawn chairs and then wait for eternal life? God is teaching us how to be soldiers of Christ, isn't he? Didn't we sing that tonight? Good selection. He's teaching us that we are to be people of action. We need to be people who do not sit around for God, but people who are active, people who are making phone calls, people are getting in their cars, people who are using their legs, using their mouths, using their minds in prayer, and accomplishing for the Lord. And you know what? The church has a lot of good servants. I know this one has a lot of good servants in it as well. You know their names. I don't know all their names, but I know that it does. And you could put forward a list, you know, great servant people, and there would be, you know, that list of people on there. And that's where all of us need to grow to, where we become that person that just never gives up. And when we sin, we get up, and we just keep serving, and we keep serving. And if you know, if you keep serving, and you keep growing, and you keep serving, and you keep growing, what happens to you eventually? You get changed, don't you? Oh, what were we talking about this morning? About the Holy Spirit? If we become filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens to the other junk in our lives? It goes out. Okay, walk in the Spirit. Fill ourselves with the mind of the Holy Spirit. And we find ourselves walking more successfully with the Lord. But we do have to put all that stuff into our minds, and we do have to act on it, don't we? Or else we just really never grow into function, and we never really grow into the role that God has set up for us. And he has a role for you. Believe it. Don't ignore it. He has a role, and the role is for you to be active, looking at every opportunity in your life, trying to be glory to him and help other people. That's your role. And that might be defined among us a little bit differently. You know, here's an elder or a deacon or whatever, but that really is the role of every one of us. And that was Peter. And the encouragement is for all of us to look at the life of Peter and to, you know, wow, what a great man he was. What a man of action he was. What a man who would serve God to the point of death. That's who he was. We need to be a doer like Peter. And we need to break free of these shackles of inactivity. We need to break the focus that we have on our self-pursuit. You know what I'm saying, right? And we need to get our eyes on God. And this is what God is asking us to do, because a couple thousand years ago, God put his eyes on us. And he decided that he would serve us. And there was nothing that was going to keep him from doing that. And the truth is, everything was fulfilled just like God said it would happen. And the reason he did that was because he loved us and wanted to save us. What do we need to do? We need to focus on God, just like God focused on us, and never take our eyes off of him. Serve him diligently every day. Serve him tonight. Who are you going to talk to tonight to strengthen? Now, Anybody tonight after services going to strengthen someone? Is there someone that you can call? Who are you going to strengthen tomorrow? What are you going to do in your spirituality tomorrow? Do you have any plans? Well, we'll see what comes tomorrow. I got to get up, go to work, and we'll come home. And how about if we put a little push into our lives and we become the doer that God wants us to be and focus on our God to make things happen, just like he focused on us to make things happen. Well, Peter was definitely all human. Thank you, Peter. I love you very much. Thank you, Paul. I love you very much. I sure, you know, may God pop in the DVD someday, you know, player, and or play the MP4 or whatever, I just love to see the full story of all things. I don't know what's going to happen someday. I'm just projecting here. I'm thankful for the lives of these men, but I'm thankful that we have Peter to show us your way may not be a perfect way, but it can still be a successful way. It can be a life that is impassioned. It can be a life that is full of love and service to God, and it can be a life where you become so committed that you are even willing to die for Jesus. But by the way, that's the easy part, isn't it? Chop my head off for God. I could do that tonight. The hardest part of all is to live the life for God right now. Yeah, that's a lot harder than dying for Jesus, isn't it? But that's what we need to be doing. So such strength is obtainable through our right attitude and through our approach to God, our focus on the Lord. And the challenge, you know, for us, self-examination, you know, do I have a growth attitude? Am I really trying to grow? How much am I in the Word? Do I really try to get everything out of classes? You know, do I have a desire to become a teacher? Teachers start with this desire to know the Word. Do you really want to become a teacher? You know, get into the Word. Get to know that Word and get to be motivated by that Word and act in that Word. Pray about these things. You know, change what you are and make yourself more than you've ever been before. That's what we can say about Peter. All along the way in his journey, he was becoming more than he ever was before until the great moment of glory when he would lay his body down for his Lord. So, you know, have I been energized in the past 5 years to engage in godly works? Have I been energized in the last year? Have I been energized in the last week? Don't give up. You know, here it is. You just don't give up, do you? You keep pushing, and one day you will find yourself a very active servant for the Lord and very productive for the Lord. Isn't that what you want? Another sermon. What is it that you really want? Tough question sometimes. Don't you want to be a servant of God? Make the difference today. Start today. And you can do it in the next few minutes. Start making an impact on people's lives. I appreciate your attention and I love you all. And I can say that. I love your shepherds. I hope that you appreciate your shepherds. They work hard for you. You know that? They do some suffering for you. Do you realize that? You've got some good servants here that do so much. You know, appreciate what you have and love each other strongly. Live together in unity. Keep a one body attitude because after all, it's the body of Christ, right? Keep that alive. Keep it in your heart. Be unified with your brother. Love him with all of your heart. The ones that are hard to love, oh, by the way, that's the test of true love anyway, isn't it? Love and serve. Do that, okay? And be a faithful church for the Lord. Maybe you're ready to be baptized. I hope that you'll use this opportunity. Water right here. Why wait? Be baptized and get into Jesus tonight. Serve him. Obey him right now as we stand and as we sing.